Good evening. I'm Joe Pica, and for those of you who have not been in a public hearing before, I am the hearing officer for tonight's public hearing. Just a few procedural items for the record. I'll be reading from a script as part of the procedures that are required for an event like this. And later in the script, I'll explain the process of making public comments. Good evening. I declare this public hearing to be open. My name is Joe Pica. I am the co-chair of the Redistricting Committee of the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission. I have been appointed by the chair of that commission to conduct this public hearing. I am here tonight with the co-chair of that committee, Henry Harper, and with Ms. Barbara Rutt, who is a member of the State Board of Education. We also have here at the table a court reporter who is providing a verbatim transcript of tonight's comments. This hearing is on the interim redistricting report that was released on November the 17th, and we are here tonight to gather public comment. This is not a question and answer period, which is why Merv Doherty was having a question and answer period just beforehand. So we are restricted by the rules of a public hearing from answering any questions this evening. The hearing provides the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission and the State Board of Education with an opportunity to receive public comment on the interim report. It will be necessary for each speaker to come forward and clearly identify him or herself by name and affiliation before beginning to speak so that the court reporter will be able to note who you are in the transcript. The record of this hearing and the other four hearings will be provided to the members of the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission and the members of the State Board of Education, together with any written or electronic comments received at this hearing or outside of this hearing between November the 17th and January the 14th. This meeting is also being recorded, and that recording will also be posted and shared with the State Board for their review. We'll proceed in the following manner. We'll take comments from anyone who desires to speak. There are sign-up sheets at the back of the room as you entered, and those wishing to offer testimony during the hour and a half provided for the public hearing must sign up. The sign-up began at 6 p.m. and will come to an end at 7:30, at which time we will collect the remaining sign-up sheets. Individuals will speak in the order in which they have signed up. We'll begin with the first sign-up sheet now, if you bring that forward. Thanks. Each individual will have 3 minutes to speak, and each group will be allowed 5 minutes. Those giving testimony will be given a 30-second warning by our timekeeper down here in the front, and then we'll be told to stop when their time is up. Again, for those of you who have come this evening with questions, I'm sorry, but the procedural guidelines don't allow us to answer questions during this public hearing. There are some question and answer information materials at the back of the room as you entered. For those speaking, you'll have to come up this way, and we'll swing the microphone so that you'll be able to use this, so everyone will be able to hear your comments. All right? Our first speaker for the evening is Bill Doolittle.
My name is Bill Doolittle, and I'm a volunteer advocate for children at risk, including children in poverty, children with disabilities, and English language learners. While the WIAC framework still has a number of issues and problems which may cause it not to move forward, even with this, it's the best opportunity to allow our children at risk to meet their potential that has been available in 40 years. With that said, I'm also a parent at Brandywine Springs, so I will talk about what you've not heard, what this will do to help my child and other children like him, and what it will cost. For Brandywine, once fully implemented with Fidelity, it will mean 4 additional teachers and counselors to implement school-wide emotional and trauma supports to allow for lower teacher-student ratios and extended learning opportunities. As school-wide supports, these will be available to every child who needs them. It will allow for an additional dedicated English language learner teacher and 2 more special education teachers to make sure children at risk in our classrooms are much better supported and ready to learn. Our elementary school children from communities from high poverty will arrive into middle school on grade level and ready to learn. When implemented with Fidelity, for the other middle and high schools, the change will be even more dramatic, with 12 to 20 additional teachers and counselors to make sure children are fully supported and ready to learn when they walk into the classroom. Red Clay, like many districts, currently directs the vast majority of its flexible funds to our children in poverty. With the Poverty and English Language Learner dedicated unit funding in the WIAC plan, those existing flexible funds will be able to be equitably distributed to support all children, including significant opportunities for enrichment and gifted programs. So what will this do to local taxes? Unlike our base education funding, for which local taxes pay for 35 to 40%, if properly structured, state and federal should provide close to 90% of the funding without the educational portion of the state budget growing beyond its historic percentage range. Again, when properly structured, no district will need to raise their local taxes more than an average district that does not have high concentration of poverty. So if properly structured, what will it take? For the poverty support component, about $60, phased in over 3 years for the average Red Clay property owner. The WIAC plan goes far beyond just our schools and brings our nonprofit support organizations, businesses, and other governmental agencies to strengthen our school communities and families of our children at risk. The WIAC plan is just the starting point and will only reach the goal using best practices in a proper structure if parents, educators, and community voices are heard loudly and consistently in Dover this spring. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Doolittle. Lisa Capretto? Okay. Thank you. Joan Pearson?
Ditto.
All right. Brian Cunningham?
I'll decline as well. Thank you.
Joe Gregg?
Greetings. My name is Joe Gregg. I am a resident of the Red Clay School District, and I have been supportive of the district's efforts both on the council at the district level and currently at the John Dickinson High School Citizens Advisory Council. Which one of these is active?
The one on your left is the official one.
Left, okay. There's a Chinese aphorism. It's called Chasing the Dragon. It refers to the opium dens in China where they were sitting smoking opium and saying everything will be fine. Unfortunately, if this goes through, it's not going to be fine. Neither the state nor the city of Wilmington have the will or the finances to give the district the additional money that this move will certainly require. Secondly, I spoke at the last meeting of the school board. My major concern with this is it will do nothing whatsoever for the children in Wilmington. Secondly, I characterize its effect on our general admission high schools, not the charter schools, as transforming them into cesspools of mediocrity. Why did I say that? It's very simply, It will increase the racial concentration of African Americans. Every study anywhere has said that that leads to a decrease in test scores of that group. It leads to a decrease in the graduation rate of those students. It increases the dropout rate of those students. Red Clay has done remarkably well in the past several years. If this goes ahead, adverse selection will occur. We will see more students, especially students with two-parent households, move their children out of the district schools. My eldest daughter and her son moved out of the Southern Wilmington, took a $50,000 loss on their new home, and moved to the Red Clay District less than a year ago. We've already taken one child out of the district school pattern and put her in one of the better private schools within the district. This does not bode well for the future of the Red Clay District. I urge that 30 second. I urge that this be declined. It's not good for the children of the city. It's not good for the children of the Red Clay District. And it does nothing whatsoever but detract from remarkable progress that this district has made. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gregg. Susan Arruda.
Susan Arruda. I'm a retired teacher, taught for 30 years. I live in Red Clay. Currently, I do volunteer work with, I'm a CASA court-appointed special advocate, and I'm also an educational surrogate parent, both dealing with children who are in foster care. And the second, the educational surrogate parent means that the child has special needs and is in foster care. And I spend about 2 hours a week at Highlands Elementary School as a volunteer in the second grade classroom. I've seen the differences between the city's schools and the suburban schools. To the remark that was made earlier about band and chorus that are offered, quote, in all the schools, some of the city schools don't have those programs. It's difficult sometimes to even get, one of the schools didn't have guidance counselor this year. And I wrote a letter to Dr. Daugherty saying, you got to get the guidance, or last year, I guess. I said, you have to get the guidance counselor there. My biggest concern has to do with the legislature. If you read the article yesterday about funding the schools that was in the News Journal, Greg Lavelle, who is my representative but lives in North Wilmington, says that he doesn't feel that this is all going to pass, that the legislature is not going to pass, and I'm going to quote from the article. He says it's going to be very difficult. He says that the commission leaders should have been able to show specific savings or efficiencies the school system can find before it asks for more money. And that issue really concerns me. Does that mean the schools have to save money? The Red Clay District has to show that they can save money? The state has to show? I think that this is, all the schools should be treated fairly. His other concern is that the downstate legislators are not going to fund this because it only concerns Wilmington schools. Having been a teacher for 30 years, we need to treat all the kids and all the schools equally. Thank you. Hi to my daughter, Steve Brady.
Thank you, Ms. Arruda. Lynn Howard. Is speaking for our group.
Good evening. My name is Lynn Howard. That's L-Y-N-N-E-H-O-W-A-R-D. I'm here representing WEST, which is the Wilmington Education Strategy Think Tank. We, the members of the Wilmington Education Strategy Think Tank, appreciate the depth of the work that has been put into the Commission's interim plan entitled Redistricting in the City of Wilmington and Newcastle County, a Transition, Resource, and Implementation Plan. As the Commission is aware, our group of concerned citizens has been working since 2013 to develop, prioritize, and advance specific goals for the benefit of Wilmington students, including 1, the reduction of districts that serve the city, 2, the development of an equitable weighted funding formula addressing student need, and 3, the establishment of an authoritative role for Wilmington in the continuous improvement of the education of its residents. We were pleased to see these priorities reflected in the WEAC recommendations earlier this year, and in endorsing WEAC's action agenda, we committed to supporting viable action steps and resource-oriented proposals. The ideas presented here and our ongoing work are evidence of that commitment. West supports the Commission's plan with conditions. We believe that there are several key principles that must be the foundation of the ongoing work of the Commission, State, and the General Assembly for any plan to succeed. Our continued support will be based on indication that these are accepted and pursued. First, resources first. The transformation of the structure of school funding to be weighted towards student need is critical, and achieving this must take precedence in the 2016 legislative session. Next, address concentrated poverty. The continued proliferation and maintenance of schools with highly concentrated poverty and an inequitable distribution of resources is unacceptable. Next, commitment to equity. Policies to ensure equity must be central to any process moving forward at every level. Fourth, no opting out. Colonial and Brandywine School District status quo positions are unacceptable. And lastly, get the Metro District right. A consolidated metropolitan city-county school district is highly desirable, but we feel further deliberation is needed regarding its ideal configuration to ensure the above priorities are pursued. We have included a table on page 3 of our written testimony that will be submitted tomorrow to further explain these positions and have attached reports on West's position on school funding reform. We take seriously our responsibility to facilitate the best possible opportunities for our youngest citizens to succeed. We thank the members of the Commission for doing the same and seeing the value in our expertise. We look forward to continuing the work together towards these ends. Sincerely, the Wilmington Education Strategy Think Tank, including Ray Jones Avery, Executive Director, Christina Cultural Arts Center, Namdi Chukwuocha, Wilmington City Councilman and Chair of the Education, Youth, and Families Committee, Theopolis K. Gregory Sr., President, Wilmington City Council, Shannon Griffin, Community Organizer, ACLU of Delaware, myself, Lynn Howard, Consultant, Christina Cultural Arts Center, Dr. Jacqueline Jenkins, Chief Strategy Advisor, Office of the Mayor of the City of Wilmington, Kathleen McCray, Executive Director, ACLU of Delaware, Rourke Moore, Special Projects, Office of the Mayor of the City of Wilmington, Maurice Pritchett, Chief Executive Officer, Pritchett Associates, and J.P. Street, Newcastle County Councilman. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Ms. Howard. The next speaker is Jerry Velazquez.
Good evening. My name is Jerry Velazquez, and I'm also from the City of Wilmington. While I come here as an individual, I also come wearing another hat, which is a board member of the Thomas Edison Charter School. As we clearly heard from the previous speaker from West, resources come first. And I say that because of the following. While a lot of effort was spent putting this particular report together, I would challenge everybody in this room who could go home tomorrow and speak to their significant other and say to them, I've got a plan to do something. I just haven't figured out how to pay for it, and would get concurrence from that significant other. That's a big problem with this particular report. And I say that because the other hat that I wear is of a construction manager. My specialty is building schools and hospitals. And the things that concern me as you read through this report is the following. A lot of statistics is given. It's a 300-page report. It does not make for easy reading. But when you look at some of the data that's given, it's very concerning. For example, on the average, the four traditional school districts' proficiency rating, the average proficiency that they've shown on page 14 is 67% for non-low economic students, 54% for low economic students, and 42% for low economic children from the city of Wilmington. The charter school industry, though, and I'm not here to advocate on behalf of the charter schools, but since they do represent a significant portion of the educational system in the city of Wilmington, especially when you consider that, as per this report, 30% of the children of the city of Wilmington are currently enrolled in charter schools. Charter schools, on the average, are producing 68% children that are proficient, 63% of low economic children that are proficient, and 56% that are low economic proficient. And almost the same with the math scores that were given. I think the other problem, and why I think resources are very important, is also because when you consider the schools that are going to be transferred over from the Christiana School District to the Red Clay, of the four schools that are mentioned in the report, something like all of the schools have less than 50% occupancy right now. I don't think that we can understand right now what the cost of renovating those schools are going to be. The other two things, because time is short, that I just want to mention that exists in the report is that there is a statement on page 167 that says a Wilmington transition fund is approved with initial allocation of funding for fiscal year 2107. Well, I think 2107 is a typo. I just want to bring it to everybody's attention that that's there. And the other typo that I think that's also significant and worth mentioning is the fact that, if I can find it very quickly, is that there's a statement that is made that the process and joint plan must recognize that the staffing needs of the Christiana School District may depend upon changes in the configuration of schools and the two programs and new programs as a result of the changes in the enrollment due to redistricting. The Christiana plan should be completed by the spring of 2016-2107. Thank you all for your time, and just would say that this report has a timeout of March of 2016, and I would hate to think that in a rush to get this approved, that we make this fatal mistake of approving the plan as is. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Velasquez. That's truly long-term planning. Are there any other sheets, speaker sheets? The next speaker is James Hanby.
Good evening, and thank you. I thank the Commission for all the efforts it's put in to make this report and to make this plan for real change. My name is James Hanby, and I serve as a Justice of the Peace here in Newcastle County. I'm also a father and the president of the Springer Middle School PTA in the Brandywine School District and the chair of the Brandywine School District's Finance Committee. But I'm here tonight, however, to speak only for myself. I do echo Ms. Howard's remarks that I believe that the Brandywine School District has a role to play in this and should step up and do so. I say that I'm here as myself, but from my position, I have a unique vantage point to see the conditions that are now existing in the city of Wilmington. While some may say that the judiciary should not speak on this matter, I feel that if I stay silent now, it's no better than saying that the status quo is okay, and it is not. It is, in fact, morally unacceptable for us to not act. This is our moment. This is, in the words of another judge, the Honorable Colin Sates, who said, "You will never be worth your salt if at some time during your life you don't take up a worthwhile cause and fight its fight." This, my friends, is a worthwhile fight. Doing nothing is not an option. I have read the final report of the committee and find much of what is in there items that I agree with. As some speakers have said, there are things that I don't agree with. But I think that it is our best chance to prevent the loss of another generation of city children. I come from Brandywine 100. I also come from a broken home. And yet I have no problem acknowledging that I am who I am because of the concept of white privilege. Growing up in my home was filled with books, magazines, newspapers. Education was a priority. My father had graduated from college and made education a priority in our lives. Our vacations included trips to Gettysburg, Philadelphia, Washington, and in 1984 included a whole month spent by car going coast to coast. This plan won't provide that kind of home life for kids impacted by these changes. Education, however, is the foundation upon which the difficult conversations of race and culture that John Taylor called for in a 2014 speech can be had. We simply have to move forward now. We have heard wait, as Dr. King said in his letter from the Birmingham jail. Wait too often has meant never. The appendixes to this report are record of that, of wait meaning never. We have had report after report that has never taken place. And so now it's time for us to advocate and to move forward. From my view on truancy court, I see the students that come from this district, from the other districts in the county, and I see that they lack in hope. This report provides some hope because it provides a stability of what each student in the city will be receiving from the districts. And I think that the time is now, the need is known, doing nothing is not an option. In short, we will no longer accept wait. Our future depends on it, not just for Wilmington, but the whole state of Delaware. Thank you again for the work you've done.
Thank you, Mr. Hanby. Stephen Beaver. Watch this corner.
Hello, my name is Stephen Beaver. I'm representing myself. I'm not originally from Delaware. I'm from Pennsylvania. And I find the whole school system here pretty odd, to say the least. To start off, I'm a little skeptical of this whole plan. A year ago, we had a vote to increase taxes. And there was no whispers at all about the Wilmington Education Council, about redistricting everything. And, you know, we vote this in, and it gets approved. And then a couple of months later, this whole big plan comes out. I have a sister and a brother-in-law who live in Dover. They're both teachers. This plan has been going on for 2 years, and we didn't hear anything about it. I'm really skeptical to wonder if it was on purpose that we didn't hear anything about it until after the vote. I'm not sure if anybody else knows, but to get people involved and have people know the information about this, it's not very public to everybody. There's not a lot of people here. And if you want to know about this, you got to search on the Delaware Online, the News Journal. If you're an actual resident that doesn't go online or get the paper, you don't know anything about this. So there's people around the corners here. I have no idea that's going on right now. And, I mean, quite frankly, I only found out because during lunch at work, I go online and check Delaware News to see what's going on, and I found out about this. Otherwise, I had no idea. And it's only up for a day online, so if you don't know about it, it's not here. So there's not a lot of people that know anything that's going on right now, so you need more public opinion, and quite frankly, the reality is there's not going to be enough funding for this because the teacher salary is already frozen. There's all the government employees are frozen, and you said there weren't going to be an increase in taxes for the Red Clay residents. Yet the final proposal says if there's no funding available, we hope the lawmakers can institute a small increment in taxes for the people of Red Clay every year and have no vote on it. Well, that's not kind of right, just taking money after we voted on it before. I'm not sure everybody knows about that part of the report. That's part of it, too. There's not going to be enough. My problem with Delaware education is you start all these charter schools, and you're taking all the people that have money that are helping all the other students that might struggle in classes, they're all going to charter schools or the private schools. And it's going to be very hard to reverse this whole entire cycle that we just started now. I'm torn between saying, yes, I want to help everybody, but because my heart wants to help the people in Wilmington and get kids together. But then my brain says, you know what, this is going to lower my property tax, my property value by a ton, and nothing's going to help because I just bought a house and everything's going to go down. And I'm going to bring my kid in the same school and the scores are going to be lower. So, you know, it's a struggle between my brain and my heart. I hope everybody does well. The reality is this wasn't thought out enough because there's no way you should institute a plan that doesn't have the funding in place first. It's simple economics. You can't just throw a dartboard and say, this looks good. Now it comes to the end of the whole process and say, how are we going to pay for this? And then try to institute a tax on people by forcing it upon them without a vote. So that's what I got to say.
Do we have any others? Let me just remind everyone, anyone who would like to speak should sign up on the sign-up sheets that are in the back of the room. And everyone is welcome to do so. 3 minutes each. Can we encourage some others to note?
I think I can. Can I clarify that? If they're received by tomorrow, they will be folded in to the next revision of the interim report. But to be considered by the State Board of Education, they can be submitted any time between now and January the 14th.
We have four additional speakers who have signed up. Patrice Walsh.
Patrick.
All right.
What's your point?
Got it. Good evening. I really just came here tonight just to gather information on what this whole thing was about. I'm a little late to the game, and basically on the previous speaker, so that this really wasn't very well publicized. It hasn't been. I, too, went online, got the News Journal article, went through it, and it does impact my son who attends this school. My daughter will be attending next year. So it's a great impact to me. I wouldn't consider myself to be poor. I'm certainly not rich. I come from a hardworking family, been in this Red Clay School District since I was born. So it's important to me. I value it. I value living in this district. I chose to stay in this district for the schooling and the fact that my kids get to go here. I right down in Sherwood Park, I'm born and raised there. So it's important to me. And I'm not going to say the dissenting opinions of this plan. We've had two people that have come up and said that they're not comfortable with it. Everyone else has been very well prepared supporting it. So they've had long advanced knowledge. They've come with papers, very well spoken, all of you. And we've had three people kind of decline to comment tonight because they weren't really sure how the format of the meeting was going to be held. So they weren't prepared. I'm not prepared, but I feel compelled to stand up here and say, why is this place not filled with people? How come it's not attended? There's not a whole lot of people here. So there's got to be a reason why. Is that on purpose? Is this thing not publicly spread out so people really can understand what the true intricacies, how it's going to impact? How is it going to impact my kids when they go to school next year, when it eventually is redistricted? How is that going to adversely, or maybe conversely, maybe it will be a good thing? But I don't know that. I can't make an informed decision. So if this gets done quickly and in the last hour, like the Lancaster Court apartment thing down the street, how that kind of got done under the, you know, dark hours of the day, how does that work? I don't know. So I think I would encourage everybody, if you're at all like me and don't have all the facts, you should learn the facts and you should get up here and talk on this thing and voice your opinion. So with respect to that, I'm going to hopefully encourage a couple other people to get up here and speak as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Walt Taplin.
Hi, my name is Walt Taplin. I'm here representing myself. I'm a 27 and a half year resident of Red Clay. I too must apologize for not having read the 300 page document. I was not aware that a 300 page document existed. I would have been reading it rather than this in my spare time since I have been retired for a couple of years. What I have been doing for the last 2 weeks or so have been trying to get data out of the Delaware online databases. I can tell you that I started to develop some statistics. I was always a big spreadsheet guy, unlike our governor. And one fact really stuck out in my mind, and that was that according to the websites on each school district, and it's somewhat difficult to coordinate those numbers with the Delaware site. And if you try to get it out, that database out in the spreadsheet, it's humongous. So if you want to do it, you better spend a lot of time on it. Anyhow, it said Brandywine had 10,740 students, and the per student was 14,458. Now, I don't know if that's correct or not, but it's very obvious when you look at the rest of the districts. For the most part, Newcastle County, there are about 12.2, 12.5, 12.6 per student. Now, with the additional students coming into Red Clay, what's going to happen, it appears that we're going to have a super district. And I hope Mr. Daugherty gets compensated for which will probably be somewhere around 17,000 students. We pay for our students now, according to the website, $12,368. It was my understanding from a previous meeting that, and I'm not the brightest bulb in the package, but it was suggested, or my interpretation of what I was told, is that all the districts in Newcastle County spend about an equal amount of money. My concern at this point is, why isn't Brandywine more involved in this rather than putting it all on Red Clay? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taplin. Joe Schluck, is that correct?
Good evening. As I said, my name is Joe Schluck. I represent myself. As a couple gentlemen prior to me had pointed out, I sat last night after I got a telephone call from the school district allowing me the knowledge that this meeting was going to take place. So I sat on an iPad for 2 hours trying to go through a couple hundred pages worth of information, which seemingly repeated itself over and over again. One of the things, I guess, that concerns me is the continuation of meeting Wilmington student needs. It says nothing in here about existing students in Red Clay or other students outside of the Wilmington boundaries. That I don't understand, nor do I agree with whatsoever. I also have a pretty tough time trying to piece together where, you know, all these additional resources that come into Red Clay are going to benefit my son or my daughter. I don't have a problem with speaking English. There's other programs which, yes, there are needs for. Not in the majority of Red Clay schools. Concentrate those programs of which those individuals in those areas need. Don't water it down. Again, I wish I was more prepared for such a meeting and to have all the information to refer to. But it also comes down to the simple fact that I moved to Red Clay School District with a young child because of the district itself. I didn't want to move to an area, you know, with a nicer house that's a little bit better because it was Christina School District. I didn't want to go somewhere that was colonial. I wanted to go to Red Clay because of all the things going on positive within Red Clay School District. This will inevitably change that fact. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schluck. Robert Cathell.
Sure. My name is Robert Cathell. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I came to the first meeting of this committee a couple months ago. I sat and listened. I came last week to William Penn. I found a couple stats based on 213, the funding that's put in this place in the school district in Delaware. The average funding for students is $13,800. That's on comparison with Berlin, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. We're ranked 11th in the nation for funding, but our SAT scores for students that graduate are in the bottom 10% of the country. I'm definitely opposed to this. You have plenty of funding. It's how it's allocated. Why don't we get more for our money? What's the failure? Something's broken in the school system. No amount of money is going to change it. If it's socioeconomic, something going on in the house, that belongs to social services. The school district is not in the business of taking care of the mental health aspects of these kids, providing for them. Where are the parents at? The funding's there. I don't think it's fair that you penalize the entire state by reassessing the properties, because that's what they want to do. You're going to penalize every retiree. You penalize every homeowner, property owner. You want it to be equitable? Implement a sales tax. Everybody's got skin in the game. You want something to change? Raise a sales tax. I don't appreciate the fact that you want to take away my right to vote on a referendum. That's the check and balance to keep spending intact, in place. I have a say. That's what you want to take away from me. I disagree. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Capella. Any other people who wish to speak? Robert Sullivan.
Robert Sullivan. I'm here representing myself. I'm the parent of a kindergarten here at Brandywine Springs. We were lucky enough to choice him in here. We live in Woodcrest, and we just had some neighbors. Everyone was raving about how great Brandywine Springs was, and we could not be happier. We love his teacher, and we were just every day we were so happy that he's attending school here. And like some of you, I didn't know a lot about this. I see the WDEL microphone. I listen to WDEL on my way home from work most days. I didn't hear anything about this meeting tonight today. We got the robocall last night. My wife and I got on the computer. We started Googling. Most of the articles were from over the summer. And we saw, so we read most of the report. And the first thing that came to our mind was this plan is to go into effect the year my son's younger brother is set to start school. And not only do we want both our children going to the same school, we want them going to this school. And how is absorbing all of Wilmington's, Christina's school district in Wilmington, going to affect choicing? I know we're not having questions answered tonight, but these are some things that I and I think a lot of other parents would like answered when you put your reports together. And the second thing that we were kind of scratching our heads, this is something I'm going to certainly investigate some more, is the school district voting. So it was unanimous for the Red Clay School District to absorb all of Christina's school district in Wilmington, unanimous or nearly unanimous for Christina to give it up, and unanimous for Brandywine to districts to remain unchanged. And I thought that was, so I heard some of you express similar concern about that as well. So thank you for allowing the opportunity to speak. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. There was also a Christina S. underneath.
My name is Christina Scolace. I didn't write it down on the paper because a lot of people butcher it. So that's why I just put S. I'm here representing myself, but I also probably am the youngest parent speaking. I have my daughter's in kindergarten here at Brandywine Springs, and I got the call, just like I think one other person said that they did, about the meeting tonight. It was the first time that I had ever actually heard about the redistricting. So I pulled up the PDF file. It came up on my computer as 191 pages. So I'm sitting there and I'm reading through it, and they have all these things highlighted, and I read that, and it just, it was really, really repetitive. But the other thing that I kind of thought about is, if you're redistricting Christina School District to Red Clay, you're not, I feel like you're not actually fixing the problem. If there's a problem with the inner city being, one part that they put was it's blacks, Latinos, and low-income housing, well, you're not actually, again, fixing the issues. If there's an issue with the low-income, poverty-stricken community of the inner city, what aren't you... first of all, I don't feel like that you're telling us something, but you're not actually fixing any of the other issues besides just pushing it off on Red Clay. So I'm worried about overcrowding. I'm worried about what the choicing is going to be like. I'm just worried about the future for Red Clay. Why isn't Brandywine contributing to this? And what's going to happen to Christina School District after everybody leaves? What are the test scores going to be like? How are the children all going to mesh together? How is it going to be... how's it going to affect all the children? If you have kids that come from, you know, a house that's a broken home, I come from a broken home. Unfortunately, I didn't have the public school experience when I was younger. I did when I was in high school. I went to McCain. I graduated in 2009. And I can tell you I went to a Catholic school and then I went to a military school. And just coming from that to a public school, just seeing how one of the schools that closed and Dickinson and McCain took a lot of inner city kids. Teachers were getting flipped over tables. Cops were getting thrown through the front doors. You name it, it happened. People were getting their hair ripped out. It was awful. Teachers can't be teachers. You're going to have more teachers that don't want to teach anymore. You can't discipline the kids. You can't actually do anything about anything that goes on in the classroom. So what's the new discipline action that you wrote? In the 191 pages, you said that there was going to be new disciplinary rules, that the funding wasn't going to come from the taxpayers' dollars, and me being a young mom, kind of sucks if you're going to end up taxing me more for things that I already pay for. We have services for low-income housing, which is great. We have things that, you know, for kids, the Boys and Girls Club. I just want to know how this is going to be long-term. And if it's going to affect my kids, how is that going to affect these schools, the property taxes? And just, I feel like it's, you need to reform that. Thank you.
Thank you. Valerie J. Could you just spell out your name?
And absolutely. Name?
Thanks.
My name is Valerie Jermusic. I'm here representing myself, but I also work at the United Way of Delaware. And I've known about this report. I knew about it before I started working at United Way of Delaware. I've worked at Girls Inc. I've worked at a number of nonprofit organizations. One of the projects that I work on is a mentoring program, and we chose a project to help H.B. DuPont School with an activity hour. And it was designed to connect the students that live in the city in 19805 around Little Italy to the school. You see, the parents don't have transportation to get out to H.B. DuPont for parent-teacher meetings, so those are the bad kids. There's no public bus system out there. You can't get there. So we brought orientation to the families and to the kids, and we brought it in English and Spanish, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I was able to go door-to-door through that neighborhood and provide those families with a little bit of hope that the school cared about what their children were doing that year. Those kids got to see their courses before anybody else did. They felt special. Finally, they felt special. I have a house here in Thomas Point. We downsized. Our five girls have all grown and gone. Four went to, well, they all five were in Red Clay. Our extra daughter went to Dickinson. My main four daughters, two went to McCain, probably would have graduated with the young woman that just spoke. Two of my other daughters graduated from Cab Calloway. We were certainly honored to have them attend that school. I can tell you that my youngest had the best education because she went to A.I. DuPont Middle School, and that was the most challenging school. 60% poverty rate while she was going there. But when she left, she had a broader, more amazing experience in education from the different types of people she got to go to school with. So I can tell you, the advantage that's going to happen by your children being mixed with these other children, they will be amazing global citizens. They will be productive members of society. They will benefit. The kids in the city will benefit. And heaven forbid, the kids in the city will actually go to a prom because it's going to be near their house. They're not going to be bussed out or not be able to attend simple traditional activities, which are part of the school experience. They're actually going to get to do things in their own neighborhood with their friends instead of sitting on a bus for 2 hours and not getting to eat. Thank you very much.
Once again, we're at that point where no one has signed up. If there's anyone else here in the room who would like to make a statement, there's a sign-up sheet in the back of the room.
Can you speak again?
No. We have several legal advisors in the group, and they say no. But you are welcome to submit additional written material. Anyone else? It's a little like a Quaker meeting, I guess, waiting for someone to stand and we'll do then is to suspend the hearing for about 15, 20 minutes and then see if anyone else arrives late or if any of you change your minds and you decide you would like to make a statement. And we will then come back in the session, at which time you'd have the opportunity to do that, or late arrivals would have the opportunity to do that. But at this point then I will suspend the hearing. You can all mingle, talk with each other if you'd like for a while, or you're welcome to go home as well. It's up to you. Thank you very much for coming, however, this evening. If the public hearing could come back into session, please. We have one more speaker. Unless someone else may have signed up during the intermission, no. Okay? And that speaker is Gretchen Shahan.
Good evening. My name is Gretchen Shahan. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. Gretchen Shahan. I just want to say, I'm here from Red Clay, and if we can't get it right for all of the children that we currently serve here in Red Clay School District, then what confidence will I or other Red Clay residents have that we'll be able to handle the future students from this WEAC program? Thank you. That's it.
Thank you, Ms. Shahan. We are staying in session until 8 p.m., so if there are others who would like to speak at this point, you're welcome to sign up to do so. Anyone else in the room who may have entered late or had a change of heart during the break? And our next speaker is Kira McDonald.
Okay. Hi, totally unprepared to speak and a little nervous, but here's the thing. Delaware schools, I think we all know, are interesting, to say the least. I think the gentleman over there said screwed up or something to that effect, and I agree. What I would like to see, instead of just another Band-Aid, is to start from scratch. Let's bring schools back to the community where they are located. And let's bring the kids to their community schools. What's happening now with all of the busing and the kids driving, they're spending hours a day on a bus when if we take the schools in Wilmington and make them better, it will benefit everybody. We're taking resources, we're adding resources to schools like Brandywine Springs unnecessarily. If you have a community school, you have the resources that you need. I was totally not prepared. This is why I shouldn't have done this, Brooke. I just feel like this is another Band-Aid, and we need to start from scratch. I worked very, very hard to get the referendum passed, and I'm proud of that, but now I'm questioning the work that I did on that when all this is coming to fruition and there's no vote, that this is just going to be given to us. Do I think that our students need more money? Yes. Do I think that it should be equitable across the state of Delaware? Why is Red Clay bearing the burden of all these additional students when Christina couldn't? It's just a Band-Aid solution to put the burden on Red Clay residents. And what benefit are the Red Clay students going to? Where every issue that comes up, everything that we're doing, the students are getting lost in this. I think we need to just take the school, bring the communities back to the schools, to their local schools. Fix the problems in the city. I'm all about diversity, and I love what that woman said from the United Way in that, she brought the orientation to Wilmington so the parents could be there. The parents shouldn't have to have the orientation brought to them. The parents should be able to get to their schools. And what we need to do is take this money, fix the schools in Wilmington, develop a Wilmington school district, and fill those schools. And then that way the parents can be involved, the community can be involved, and, Red Clay, the resources that we're spending for kids that are causing issues in Red Clay schools, we can take that money and put it in the schools that need the resources. We're spending money for things that we don't necessarily need in all the schools. I'll be more prepared next time.
Thank you, Ms. McDonald. Any other speakers? Anyone else who wishes to go on the record at this public hearing? We have time. We are patient. See, you stay in business long enough. Vince Jenkins is our next speaker.
Watch this court. Hello. My name is Vince Jenkins. I'm here speaking on behalf of myself. I didn't know anything about this meeting till today. I came to this meeting for a completely different reason. After listening to the parents and the concerned the people and the argument, I somewhat agree with them. I live in Wilmington, and my kids go to school in Wilmington. I have an older son who went to school in Red Clay, and it was completely different. Red Clay was awesome. And when I go into the Wilmington schools now, I'm afraid for my kids. I walk my kids to class, and I think that if some of these kids come up here, your property value would go down, and people would not look at Red Clay the way they look at it now. I thought Red Clay was the best school district in Delaware, one of the best. And if some of these kids in Wilmington, you don't really want them to be a part of your school. And I think y'all should fight hard to stop this from happening. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkins. Olga Beaver.
Good evening. My name is Olga Beaver, and I am here representing myself. I'm actually a teacher in a Title I school, which means that a lot of our students actually get free or reduced lunch. I read the report and actually found out about it from my husband, who happens to be a civil engineer, and I was shocked to find out that I actually did not know anything about it. I went and asked my fellow teachers if they were aware of this, and none of them were actually aware. They were actually, a lot of them, surprised and telling me that I misread the report. And I said, no, I'm pretty sure that I read it correctly, and this is where you can find about it. The report, actually, I think it has a very utopian vision for how the school system in Delaware should be implemented, should work. But I think, you know, as a teacher, I want my students to perform the best. And there's a lot of, I guess, different things that go into student achievement, not necessarily just the school environment, but also their home. I have students who do not come to school. They miss a day of school because maybe they had a shooting. I have other students who do not come to school because they have problems going on at home, and that's very difficult as a teacher for you to deal with and actually make them move forward. I want this generation to, in the future, do outstanding. I want my students to be the best. I want my students to get a good job, to be well-educated. But the fact of the matter is that you cannot get there unless you have the proper allocation of resources to support them. You need teachers need support. You need a lot of stuff that currently Red Clay does not even have for their own students. So therefore, how is actually getting a lot more students into Red Clay going to fix a problem that Red Clay currently has? So we just approve taxes for the students to get them better resources so that our low-performing schools within Red Clay can get better computers, literacy coaches, and now we're adding more students. And I guess what my skepticism comes from is, where is this money going to come from? And in the long run, is it really going to work? Because for you to fix poverty, I want to fix poverty across the world. I want Africa to have better resources that they currently have. And, you know, it's very tough for you to fix that. So I guess that is what I wanted to say from a different point of view. I want the city of Wilmington students to have better options for their future. But without the proper allocation of resources, you can't do that. You can't just say, here it is, we want everyone to do well, but yet there's no set plan in place for them. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. Jenkins. It is now 8 o'clock, and unless there's anyone else that has signed up, No? Anyone else in the group? This hearing is now closed. I want to thank all of you for coming and participating this evening. All comments made today are submitted between November the 17th and December the 8th will be considered as part of the final report submitted by the Wilmington Education Improvement Commission to the State Board of Education. All comments made today are submitted between November the 17th and January the 14th will be available for the State Board to consider. Thank you very much.